everybody. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you.
Heated debates before the show even started. Live, by the way.
Yeah. Was the field goal blocked? Was it just a bad field goal?
Catanzaro, no. He just did doink right off the damn bar.
It doesn't matter. That game was so ugly. A 6-6 overtime tie. Give me a break, man. That was the lowest scoring overtime total in NFL history, I believe.
And just like hearing people in the office, like Pat knows a bunch of people on Twitter, and one guy who said that it, like, he had taken the end game on a tie, like 250-1, and dropped like $100 on it. That's like not bad.
Wow. I know who's buying lunch this week.
And then his roommate
office.
Had made a bet before the game started on a tie. That's crazy. But there was proof in the tweet. So and that was like 200, I don't even know. Like
good odds.
Yeah.
It was good odds.
$250,000.
And there was good odds
that
$2,500
to 1. Wow.
There's good odds that LeSean McCoy is kicking himself.
Is that where
morning.
We're starting?
We are starting with that because the Bills running back was supposed to be game time decision, and he was doing his pregame warm-ups, and as you mentioned, Chris, reporters on the sideline were like, he doesn't look great, he's been limping around, but you know what? Just start him anyway. It's okay. against Miami.
This was one of the most difficult decisions yesterday with Pat and I just trying to figure out what to do with LeSean McCoy. Yeah. We had said that we thought that if you were in a situation where we had both, that you should play Gillislee, and it was a lot of back and forth, but I mean, I'm not a Bills fan, and I don't own McCoy, but I have to speak here. Just like, this is so frustrating for me just to sit here and watch what happened yesterday and just talk about it now. LeSean McCoy, the Bills are 4-2 heading into that football game yesterday. LeSean McCoy last year was dinged up with a hamstring injury, played through it, ended up missing a few games and had a setback. This is the quote from him. Oh, I felt a little pain in my injured hamstring. So he really pushed it to play. This guy had like 8 carries, 11 yards. They weren't using Gillislee. After the game, Rex Ryan had said that he didn't even know that LeSean McCoy was hurt, that
That's
he said
why.
LeSean McCoy told him he was fine. Didn't know he wasn't 100%. And then after the game, again, reporters asked McCoy, he said, listen, why did you play this game? You probably shouldn't have played, right? And he was just, yeah, you might be right. And so the Bills, it's just like, I don't know if that's on Rex Ryan being a selfish coach, just looking for the win, not looking ahead at the future, not thinking about like the team, about LeSean McCoy. That's their MVP. If they want to do any damage, I mean, they got New England next, they got Seattle. Those are two tough games. This is puts them in a tough spot to make the playoffs now. This guy should have sat out, and maybe he'd be healthy this coming week. I'm shocked that he played. I'm shocked that the organization let him play. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is on McCoy for just like, listen, I'm just going to play. I'm not thinking about anybody else but myself here and not my teammates. I'm going to play.
But he should have been thinking
about Rex Ryan. It's a little bit of everybody.
Even not playing is still thinking about yourself because you're thinking about how you can contribute to your team long term. So they lost McCoy. He might be out for several weeks now. They lost the game and Jay Ajayi, my goodness, sir.
He went off.
Another game of 200 rushing yards or more. You were saying earlier he's the fourth person to do it. O.J. Simpson,
Eric
Ricky
Campbell.
Williams.
Yeah, and Eric Campbell.
And Eric Campbell.
Ricky Williams spent some time in CFL.
Yeah. only because he had to.
He
surpassed 200 rushing yards for the second game in a row, and I was watching the highlights from this game after the fact, and he ripped off the 53-yard run, and it's almost like one of those things. I want to give Miami credit for winning, but when you're watching the run, it's like two of the Bills linesmen bumped into each other so they couldn't tackle him. And then that long shot down the field to Kenny Stills, the safety absolutely took out the corner, allowing him to run into the end zone. So a couple strokes of luck for Miami in their win. Congratulations, the Bills. What were you thinking? You blew it.
Even with Gillislee, like, why not just give him the ball and let him touch the ball like 15 to 20 times a game? I mean, he only had one touch until McCoy left. Like, it was late in the third quarter where he finally touch the ball, and he still ran for like 5 for 20. I mean, that's not bad numbers for a team who's number one in rushing. I just thought that they just poorly played that. But for Jay Ajayi, I mean, you talk about the numbers, like, just great stuff. I mean, this guy is a good running back. He just had an attitude problem with Adam Gase. He can never stay on the on the football field. I mean, think about week one, Ashley. Like, not only was he inactive, he didn't fly with the team to Seattle. He was just left home in Miami. A lot of bad talk about him, but in Boise State, he put up terrific numbers. So Ajayi seems like he's legit, and just some numbers from Pat Thorman from Pro Football Focus, and said he's broke 13 missed tackles in the last 2 weeks. That's more than just like Ezekiel Elliott to date in the season.
Oh, nice.
So that's just
got that
and
power
Elliott's
that
been
burst.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Elliott has been
so
great.
Like, just to put it in perspective how good Jay Ajayi has been. So move along from that Buffalo-Miami game, which is crazy. Tevin Coleman was looking pretty good yesterday. Found a touchdown in the end zone. It was obviously a passing attack from Matt Ryan, who just continues to air it out. But Tevin Coleman now dealing with a hamstring injury. That's bad news if you own him because you drafted him late and you were able to start him, like even as a flex. Even if you had both guys, you can get away with it. Talking about Freeman here. So no real word on the injury, but usually, typically with hamstrings, you're going to miss a couple weeks at least. So that's not good news, but great news for Freeman owners.
Yeah.
Your own Freeman now. I mean, this guy is top 10 in red zone rushing attempts. He's top 10 in red zone targets. He's got 10 targets in the red zone. Matt Ryan is throwing the ball the second most out of any quarterback in the red zone. So Freeman's just going to continue to pile up the yards, pile up the attempts, the touches, all that good stuff. So good news moving forward for Freeman owners. Now you don't have to have that Coleman in the back of your head. Is he going to steal those touches away?
Well, he did a great job. And the thing with Coleman is that he's been good on limited touches. You mentioned his line, 8 rushes, 64 yards, and a touchdown on just 14 snaps.
Yeah.
So very productive. Yeah, we'll see. We'll monitor that for you. And then something that we've been talking about nonstop since the season started, Jamaal Charles. When's he going to get back in the game? When's he going to take over the starting role from Spencer Ware? Well, probably not anytime soon. And quite frankly, Chris, I'm just going to anoint Spencer Ware the number one back in KC, and let's just squash this whole conversation, because Ware has had at least 80 all-purpose yards in every single game this season. Jamaal Charles, 2 snaps to Ware's 36 this week, 1 rush, 0 yards against the Saints. And last week, he had MRIs on both of his knees. The swelling's back in his surgically repaired knee. He's feeling uncomfortable. He's not at full health. We had been talking to some injury experts, and they were saying that it's a mental thing. So it looks like on top of not having the confidence to get back in there and cut on instinct, thinking about your knee injury, it's also something that looks like it could be a re-injure, which is bad news for Jamaal Charles owners, but great news for people who got Spencer Ware.
Yeah, I mean, if you own both, this is what you want to hear. I mean, honestly, it really
you
is.
You want a decision.
Yeah, you want one of them. Now you don't have to, you know, there was some talk that you could play both of them. Mm-hmm. Even like early in the week, about a week ago today, there was talk that you could get away with playing both of these
both
guys against the Saints, right?
They both got touchdowns,
the week before against the San Diego Chargers, which was a nice matchup as well. So this is just not great news again for Charles. I don't know what you do. You just kind of hang on with him and just hope. I know they're playing and they're really trying to play cautious here, but not great news for Charles owners. Allen Robinson, too. Let's touch on him.
Where are you?
Where are you, Allen Robinson? I mean, you're top 20 in targets. You're tied top 20. Last year, 14 touchdowns. So far this year, 3. Look at the targets. 50, only reeling in 26 of those. I put a little bit of blame on him because he's dropped a couple of balls, but it's mostly on Bortles, and the matchups don't look great. Bortles doesn't look good. He's wild. He's sporadic. He can't handle himself. He's getting sacked all the time. He's pressured. The O-line is not great in Jacksonville, so I don't know what you do here. I have Allen Robinson in a ton of leagues. I don't want that much exposure from a guy who's really struggling, so I'm going to look to maybe flip him in a couple, but I do still think he's definitely like a top 15 wide receiver. Just we need to see
it now. In yards, though, he's the 71st wide receiver.
Yeah.
Under 300 this year. Jeremy Curley, Cameron Meredith, and Adam Thielen all have more receiving yards than your boy.
Speaking of Thielen, maybe Cordarrelle Patterson. He's starting to creep up.
You were talking about him on Sunday.
I was talking about him on Sunday. It's just like a sneaky little play. Just somebody to keep an eye on. I mean, 7 targets, 7 receptions. Found the end zone. It was a garbage time touchdown, but he's found the end zone a couple times now. And this is a guy that has a lot of skill. Only like 1 year before he actually played in the NFL. I mean, 1 year in college, very, very raw. Some patience with this guy, but look at the catches. 18, 19. He's got good hands. It's just all about his route running and what he can do on the football field. And Sam Bradford's just getting pressured a lot. 6 sacks yesterday. Eagles were all over him. But I don't really blame Bradford a lot in that game. It's just his line needs to protect him a little bit more. So just keep an eye on him as opposed to a lot of people who are picking up Thielen. I think Patterson could have some sneaky value in the weeks coming up because there's a really he's got some good teams. Bears,
good
Lions,
matchups.
Colts, some good matchups there.
And sometimes it doesn't even matter if the matchups are good for the guys that you like because there's 6 teams on bye this week and another 6 on bye next week. So
we're digging.
You gotta get digging. So we're gonna invite Neil Parker onto the show. He's gonna talk about some of his waiver wire targets going forward. Well, Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Waiver wire time. Six teams on a bye this week. So Neil Parker joins us to talk about the guys that he's targeting, and maybe you should listen up and you should target them too. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going today, Ashley, Chris? Good. Happy to be here.
Yes, let's get right into it, Neil. Let's start in Green Bay because we've had a couple days to digest that whole matchup against Chicago and Ty Montgomery running all over the place and all that stuff. But I want to know what you think is going to happen moving forward. James Starks is sideline. Eddie Lacy, we may not see him again. I assume Montgomery is probably going to do similar work to what he did last week. But do you think that maybe now Davis gets sprinkled in here at all?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the allure for Davis in fantasy settings. He's a competent receiver, but like you just mentioned, Green Bay moved the chains with Ty Montgomery the past 2 weeks. I don't see where Montgomery yields enough work to Davis for Davis to be a strong fantasy asset. Montgomery's gained over 100 yards from scrimmage in consecutive games, and his ability as a receiver makes him a matchup nightmare for opposing linebackers when he's lined up in the backfield. Plus, Davis has an underwhelming 3.3 yards per carry mark for his career, so I don't know if he's any good.
Yeah.
As we look at this board, 2-3 minus one.
Negative, zero.
Not ideal. And if there's ever a time to quote unquote ride the hot hand, It seems like it's something unconventional that they're doing with Ty Montgomery.
And we didn't include Davante Adams in this talk, really, but people should go ahead and pick him up. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is going to throw the ball 40 plus times with a minimal run game, I mean, he seems like a guy that you can fill in. As Ashley said, six teams on bye this week, six on bye next week.
Yeah, I think Adams is a universal own in all fantasy settings. Okay. He's proven it the past couple weeks.
Chris, it's a no-brainer. Some interesting stuff happening with Chicago. So it was supposed to be Jeremy Langford.
Yeah.
Then he got hurt.
He gone.
Then it's Jordan Howard, and apparently he gone too because he was outsnapped by Kadeem Carey 11-7 this week, and outgained by 35 yards in those four carry range. So what's the deal going forward? Is Kadeem Carey the one, or are they going to test out Jordan Howard and try him out again? Or when Langford comes back, what's going to happen?
What a mess, eh?
Yeah, well, I think we just need to backtrack here to the fact that Matt Barkley could be starting against the Minnesota Vikings this week. And then the Bears are on a bye. So it's just an absolutely horrible fantasy situation for at least the next 2 weeks. And during this critical time in the fantasy season, hanging on to players in horrible matchups where you don't know their usage isn't exactly an ideal strategy. They're basically dead weight on your bench. So I don't like Kadeem Carey. I think that Jordan Howard has established himself enough to be at least worth keeping on your roster. But as you noted, like, Carey ran 19 times for 98 yards for 5.16 yards per tote over the past two games, and Howard went for just 2.55 yards per rush during the same period. So it's not a great fantasy situation. Maybe Jay Cutler comes back and helps out eventually, but Minnesota Vikings, Matt Barkley, week 8, week 9 bye, I just would stay clear. I wouldn't make any of these players a priority, either Howard or Carey. But if you own Howard, I think you should keep him because he can probably find the goal line again and do some damage that way. But it's not an encouraging fantasy situation at all.
And can I just say one thing? Because, I've used the information before to put people's statistics into perspective, but with running backs in particular, he had 48 yards on 10 carries. This is Kadeem Carey. And one of them was like a plus 20 yard run.
Yeah.
Really, if you take away that carry, no, not really, because with running backs, that's what makes them good.
Sure.
When they can break off these big runs from like 2 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards, 20 yards.
Yeah.
That's all. I just wanted to say that.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you can't take away a breakaway play. It's packed into the stats. You're right, Ashley, for sure.
Like Jay Ajayi, he only had 150 yards if you take away that 53-yard run.
But I was going to say, because we talk a lot of Jay Ajayi, and Ashley's like, enough about Jay Ajayi, but like 9 times he had a busted a run over 10 yards. That hadn't been done since 1960. That's crazy just to say about Jay Ajayi. Another stat for him. Maybe a running back that you do like, Neil, that you can pick up. I mean, Matt Jones has really struggled here. He lost a fumble. He had 2 fumbles, recovered one, but lost one in the end zone, got benched. Game script had it. Chris Thompson, 19 touches, 7 receptions. He seems to have more value in PPR. Are you looking at him at all if you're in a bleak situation?
Yeah, for sure. And just the only thing about Chris Thompson is that he's 5'8", 195 pounds. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, third down backs or passing down backs see heightened efficiency in their yards per carry because a defense is willing to give them 7 or 8 yards on a third and nine, right? That ninth yard is the one that matters, not, you know, giving them 8 or 9. So he's likely not available in PPR settings anyway. But in standard leagues, I think he definitely is worth owning because of the upside for increased usage. I just think you have to keep your expectations in check with Chris Thompson because he's a complimentary rusher and not a bell cow back.
Yeah.
What do you think about what's going on with the Giants? You have Paul Perkins, young rookie. Rashad Jennings is in the mix. But Perkins should be available on a lot of waiver wires if the league is less than 12 teams, I don't know, 10 teams. I would imagine he would be there.
For sure.
What do you think his projection is going forward? Because before this week, he never had more than 2 carries.
Yeah, and I mean, the big thing with Paul Perkins is he's absolutely 100%, undoubtedly, the most explosive rusher for the New York Giants. Rashard Jennings is healthy right now, but how long is that going to last? And also, Perkins outsnapped Bobby Rainey on Sunday, and Orleans Darkwa didn't see an offensive snap. So Perkins' shortcomings in the pass protection, hopefully he can get over those. Hopefully he starts to see more time on the field. But again, going back to Rashard Jennings, 1.82 yards per carry the past 2 weeks. So Perkins is the explosive option. Hopefully he sees a larger role. And one thing that sometimes goes overlooked in these situations is because Perkins hasn't seen a lot of work thus far, he has very little wear and tear on his body. So he'll be explosive when he comes in going forward, and hopefully he can begin to carve out more of a role. I'm a big fan. I think he should be owned in almost all leagues as a you know, potential game breaker down the fantasy stretch, you know, in a month's time.
Yeah, nice. You know, Eli likes to throw the ball too, and he can catch the ball. I mean, 1% owned. We're really digging deep here, Neil. This next guy is 0% owned in Yahoo. Russell Shepard, everybody. 6 targets, 5 receptions, found the end zone, 77 yards. What I like about him is this, like, obviously we talked about Vincent Jackson being hurt. Mm-hmm. We thought maybe Brait Humphreys can get sprinkled in, but this schedule is just so fantasy friendly for Tampa Bay. Oakland, Atlanta, Chicago, then a couple tough matchups, KC, Seattle, and San Diego, Saints, Dallas, Saints again. Saints twice in the playoffs. Is Shepard somebody that people should spend a waiver wire claim on?
Yeah, I mean, you just mentioned it. There's a handful of startable weeks for Russell Shepard in the upcoming schedule, so that alone makes him a worthy grab. I just think you have to keep expectations in check a little bit, though. The 49ers have allowed 15 passing touchdowns this season. Only the Browns and the Lions have surrendered more. Shepard didn't do anything in college. He was a fantasy non-factor through 4 years with Tampa Bay until Sunday, but starting opposite Mike Evans as the next man up is a cushy situation, and the schedule's cushier. So definitely I can understand why Shepard would be someone that you might want to take a real significant amount of your fab budget or, you know, to go after quite heavily in waivers this week.
Yeah, he's probably just going to be standing there by himself on the sideline as Mike Evans gets triple teamed.
Yeah.
Triple
coverage,
a little dunk pass. And for the matchup, Raiders over 100 receptions and over 1,400 yards to wide receivers so far this season. Quickly, though, we want to talk about the offense in Philly. Dorial Green-Beckham or Nelson Agholor? Who do you prefer?
Well, I think Green Beckham has the upside here, especially in the red zone. After playing 81% of offensive snaps in week 6 against the Lions, Green Beckham dropped to just 48% on Sunday. I don't think that's a big deal, though, because of game script. The two games couldn't have been more opposite in that regard. Philadelphia has converted just 50% of their red zone trips into touchdowns this year, and Green Beckham's a 6'5" target. That's something Nelson Agholor can't, you know,
can't
he can't bring
height.
That. No, I can't teach it either. Can't teach it. So,
how much we tried.
Extra veggies isn't even going to fix it at this stage. So for me, it only makes sense that Green Beckham's going to be utilized more frequently in the end zone. What they've been doing hasn't been as successful as it needs to be. And again, 6'5" target, great hands, oozes talent. So he's just, you know, finally becoming more acclimatized with the offense. And I think the upside's highest for Green Beckham. I mean, I've been stashing him all year in a few places, and I think it's going to reward down the stretch.
Hey, maybe you'll see a touchdown this Sunday night in Dallas. I see you got Tony Romo behind. Maybe next time we see you, Neil, you'll have a Dak Prescott sign behind you, not a Tony one.
Maybe a Chicago Cubs championship
banner.
Fair enough, buddy. We appreciate your time. You're doing good work over there at RotoWire. Thanks for stopping by, and good luck to your Cubbies.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Chris. Ashley, have a great day.
Always a pleasure. See you later. Yeah, it's interesting. Dorial Green-Beckham, 22 targets. Nelson Aguilar's 32 targets, but someone has a slippery finger problem.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
And that is Mr. Aguilar.
Yeah,
for sure.
And a lot of people are just really hard on Wentz right now with accuracy. But this is a tough defense he faced yesterday in Minnesota. Give him a pass.
Give him a pass.
Yeah.
One pass.
It's just a rook.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess he gets two passes because last week before that was a pass too.
We're just handing out passes like it's Christmas, and we're going to talk about who was getting the ball handed to them the most this week's targets and touches leaders on FST. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Targets and touches time.
Yep, let's rapid fire through
Who
this.
Had their hands on the balls most? Sorry.
That's a good one. And it was Davante Adams.
Leo Jones. Randall Cobb, Tavon Austin, Larry Fitz, Mike Wallace, Mike Evans. That's pretty low for him, 13. Ty Montgomery, Michael Thomas, and then two other players tied at 10. You want to get into Tavon Austin, so take it away.
Yeah, well, I don't have much to say about Tavon Austin. 15 targets. This guy is like hot and cold. Five receptions, 1 week, two, then seven, then three, then 10. I mean, he's all over the place. 36 receptions, 64 targets. At the start of the year, Fisher said he was going to double his catches. He's not on pace for 100 catches. He's on pace for about 80, which is okay.
That's close.
He's on pace for like 650 yards. Who cares about Tavon Austin and two touchdowns? So I honestly wouldn't even roster this guy. I know that he has some good weeks and bad weeks, but I just don't want him in my lineup. I have to be in a really, really tough situation to feel comfortable about starting him. Mm-hmm. I don't like that offense. Gurley can't get anything done, and you saw that play at the very end where Case Keenum was looking for somebody in the end zone. It was like a punt. He just punted to the other team and called it quits.
Yeah, Case Keenum, four interceptions. Mike Wallace, he's on there. He had 13 targets this past week. Heading into a bye.
Yeah.
He led the Ravens, but they lost to the lowly Jets in the process. So he has six targets for three games to start the season. Now, in his last four, he has three games of double targets. Excuse me.
Yeah, 43 total.
But all his touchdowns came in the first
couple
of weeks. So
yeah, that's a little bit of a concern.
It is a concern, but it bodes well because what it means to me, at least, is that when you get the targets, the yards start coming, and eventually you're going to break for a touchdown, if not get targeted in the red zone. So Mike Wallace is someone who's definitely trending up for me.
Yeah, people in the office laughed at me when I said you should draft him. It costs you nothing. 43 targets the last 4 weeks, 90-plus yards in three of his games, 120 yards yesterday. And guess what? Joe Flacco has the most throws over the past 4 weeks, 190 passes. The next quarterback is like 40 behind that, Eli Manning. So roll with him. He's just getting all the targets. Michael Thomas, before we get to the touches, right quick. Michael Thomas, 36 receptions. It's number one on the team. 49 targets. It's number two on the team. He's right behind Cooks in yards and touchdowns. 437 yards. Three touchdowns is the second most. Michael Thomas seems legit. Yesterday, just a phenomenal game. It's a good schedule right down the stretch.
And
Drew Brees loves to air it.
And Sean Payton said, I don't follow fantasy football, but if I did, Thomas seems like a pretty good guy to have. So there you go. Fantasy advice from Sean Payton himself. Let's take a look at the total touches board for week seven. We're going to touch on Matt Forte quickly. 34 touches. I've said touches a lot. 100 carries on 30.
Say
100 yards on 31 carries. One touchdown. 54 yards through the air. Also a touchdown. He joined Marshall Faulk, Thurman Thomas, Herschel Walker, and Marcus Allen with 8,000 rush yards, 4,000 receiving yards, and 20 receiving touchdowns. Yes, Matt Forte, sell high.
You should have sold high after he had the 30-plus carries against Buffalo, and you probably missed the opportunity maybe. So now you just go ahead and you sell him as well. And Latavius Murray back into the lineup. That's good news. He found the end zone a couple times. So I know it's a big time share there in Oakland. I wouldn't worry about it. This guy's at least going to get the goal line carries, and that's what Ashley wants, the touchdown.
And it's interesting because Matt Forte, limited at practice this week, goes off for over 100 yards on the ground. And then Latavius Murray, questionable toe injury, has probably one of his best weeks this season.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
You can't trust the injury reports is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Trade Matt Forte.
You can trust us, though. Trade Matt Forte.
Yeah, we'll be back here tomorrow, I think.
We'll see you tomorrow. Right. Maybe. Probably not.
Have a good day.